Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard to snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Huh. Oh, okay. Interesting.
I should talk into my mic. What's up, y'all? What's going on? T-Bob here. Welcome to a brand new beginning here. Aaron is out today. Aaron's doing a charity golf tournament, which we love to see. And I forgot to start with our countdown video. So here we are. We're live. As you can see, I am at home. The office that I normally do my work out of. The internet was down. It's been a weird ass day, y'all. I've had a bit of a migraine. I don't normally get headaches like this. I don't know what happened. Something went down, though. I don't know. It's been a weird day, but I'm excited for today's show. Maybe a little bit of a quicker show today. A lot of craziness here going on in the home front, but we got Peter Burns stopping by in a couple of minutes. And PB, we're going to break down a lot of the Texas spring game with Peter, which if you haven't seen it, the spring game's not worth a watch, but I would say go hunt down, go if you're into this. And if you're listening to snaps, you likely are, go hunt down the, God, I told you all my brain's not working today. What's going on? Oh, go hunt down the Arch Manning highlights of every throw that he made. He did fantastic. My Ethereum offer still stands. T-Bob says college football. I don't remember the Ethereum offer. Damn good dog pop has. T-Bob, you need help with backgrounds and overlays? Let me know. I absolutely will. And I know, Ben, you've offered as well. Look into that. I normally have a picture of the Goldshire Inn or Lions Pride Inn from WoW in the background, but it would not let me for some reason, it would not let me do it. Wait. Okay, hold on. As I wait a little bit for PB to get here, let's try this. And I figured it out. This is not the Lions Pride Inn, but maybe so coming up. We'll see. Arch haters losing their shit, says Texas Rocks. Yeah. I mean, if you were on the Arch Manning's not actually that good bandwagon, yeah, you're having a bad day today after Saturday. Bo Kenny isn't Peter Burns when he told you to shut up on your own show. Yep, I believe that was true as well one time, but hey, you know what? Forgive and forget, dude. But yeah, look, here's what I'll say about Arch. I watched every throw that he made during spring. I did not watch the entire spring game. But I thought Arch Manning looked objectively really damn good. The numbers are great. It's like 19 to 24, some other events, like 350, three touchdowns. Numbers are what they are. Though they could have been even more impressive. He had a fourth touchdown that was an absolute beautiful dart to Isaiah Bond that Bond ended up dropping that would have increased it across the board. But the numbers are fine. But I've seen people put up good numbers in spring games. It's how he looked putting up the numbers. I saw a young quarterback who was going through all of his progressions, right? Who was very comfortable in the pocket. His footwork was excellent as he navigated the pocket, as he would influence the rush. I saw a quarterback that was taking what the defense was giving him. And that's a bit interesting to speak on, because normally when we think about taking what the defense is giving them, like, it can be code speak, right? We have a lot of code speak when it comes to college football. I have a guy sneaky athletic. He's probably a white guy that has a little bit of speed to him. And he's workout wear. All that's kind of the very cliche ones that you go to. Taking what the defense giving you is generally code speak for a quarterback that is just going to check down and be conservative at all costs. I am not saying that when I say that about Arch Manning. I mean it legitimately. When he had to check down, he did. But when the defense would offer him chunks, he was able to consistently find those. And then when the defense would offer him massive deep balls, 75-yard touchdowns, he pretty consistently found those. He looked really comfortable. The screen game, very good on all of his quick throws, the arm angles that he was able to get it out from. And again, I told you, I really like the pocket presses and footwork. And when you're talking about great quarterback play, it ultimately comes down to two things: decision-making and accuracy. Do you know where to put the ball? And then can you put, like you know, the correct person to throw to? And then can you throw it to the correct area once you're throwing to that person? And I saw that in spades out of Arch Manning in that spring game on Saturday. The Texas, I don't want to be clear about this. I almost feel a bit cheesy in doing a take like this, because I feel like everybody's rushing to get out a take like this. And to me, I feel like you'd have to be it's just a conversation I don't think has a lot of legitimacy. So it's almost like I don't want to bring it up. But it's the quarterback controversy thing, right? Is there a controversy? Is there a quarterback controversy at Texas after this great spring game performance from Arch Manning? And no. Very clearly, Quinn Ewers is the guy and will be the guy this upcoming season. Your biggest takeaway should have nothing to do with the controversy. If you're a Texas fan listening to that right now, your biggest takeaway should be that, well, A, it seems like you have a really solid insurance plan for this season should Quinn suffer an injury, as he did last year at some point during the year. Also, you have a guy who that you're very excited about his potential now, even more so than you were before. And every rep that he's able to get this year will only make it better for the future. Probably your biggest takeaway, though, is that you look like you should be really good at quarterback now for years to come, right? This year with Ewers, who would probably be the top quarterback picked, then maybe two more years with Arch after that. And I would also say this about Arch. What a difference from last year's spring game to this year's spring game. And again, this is something obvious. Well, yeah, duh, of course, right? Like last year's spring game, he'd been there a couple of weeks. He should have still been in high school. Like it's very tough to go out there and perform. And he was like 5 or 13. But a lot of people watching every Arch show last year used that as a launching pad to be like, oh, he's overrated. He's not that guy. He's not this or that. Well, look at him this year. Because if you just compare the two games, the growth is massive, which I also think is a big win for Steve Sarkisian. As you know, he is thought to be one of the premier offensive minds in college football today. And watching Arch's growth from last year to this year is, well, it speaks to Sarkisian being able to train not just one guy to be really good like a Quinn Ewers, but to be able to train guys for years to come here. The only question I have, and this is what I really want to chop it up with PB about, who should, oh, there he is right here. Oh, there we go. Peter, what's up, dude? What's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, get all the text where Quinn is transferring to now that Arch has won the Heisman, right? Right.
It's funny. I mean, I just talked about it. It's like I feel a little – I almost don't want to engage with it because it's like – because there is no controversy, right? Like, we all know if I'm a Texas fan, I should just be really happy because I feel like I should be excited for the next like 4 years now.
In theory, right? I mean, I'm there. I did the spring game with Brian Robinson, and we were doing the pregame and postgame for Longhorn Network. And we look at each other, kind of like, oh, you know, kind of joking around after he throws the first pass for 75 yards, just on an absolute dime. We're like, here it is, controversy, ha ha ha. And then we kind of look at each other like the next, you know, like two drives later, and we're like, okay. And then like he keeps going and going and throwing dime after dime. And we're like, this is a thing, right? Is this not a thing? Is this a thing? Like, I, you know, and ultimately it is going to be a thing, right? One way or another. Like, I understand. I'm with the fact of, hey, do we want to talk about it? Do we not want to talk about it? You have to talk about it. If for no other reason, there's, you know, history behind it. Look at Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, both of those guys are successful NFL quarterbacks. They are successful collegiate quarterbacks. They were in the same room. And at some point, Nick had to make a decision to go with Tua. Went with the second half of the Georgia game. He won a national championship. It may never come down to that. And I think the most – but they have that option. And I also think it's a credit to – not just Sarka developing, because I love what you said about, you know, how he developed Arch, but it's also a credit to Arch and his support system of going, hey, let's go old school. Not I need to start day one. I need to make X amount of money in NIL. It is, hey, get your feet wet on campus. Learn what it takes to live in Austin, which is a whole different ball of wax. I don't care where you're from. Austin and being the big man on campus like he is, it's a different world. And get bigger, get stronger, get faster, and make it comfortable. That happened with Eli. It happened with Peyton. And now I think we're going to see it with Arch. It's almost like the throwback how you see quarterbacks develop, T-Bob, back in the day when we loved college football rather than the new world that we have now.
Well, it's kind of funny because we had this discussion on the show the other day. It's like, I feel like kids nowadays, just to go full old man sounding, like, we are, you know, it's just increasingly rare that anybody shows up and knows, like, okay, I'm not going to play. And I was just using my own experience as kind of launching point for the conversation because, like, I grew up a hardcore LSU fan, so it was really cool to get to go to LSU. But that first year, like, yeah, I knew, like, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to redshirt. I'm going to do scout team. I'm going to get bigger, stronger, like, learn the game. And so it was kind of awesome for me because – I just felt like a fan that got front row tickets to every game. Like, I would put sunflower seeds in my gloves and put my helmet behind the bench, and I'd be chilling there like I had front row seats, just loving it. And Arch, and kind of a throwback. He did that as well. So Bo Kenny in the chat says, if the last name wasn't Manning, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. He looked good, or there's no controversy other than the hype around his last name. So this is where I disagree. I mean, obviously, the name is unavoidable, and yes, it does push this to the fore. But if you just looked at the film, like I said, it was elite-level quarterback play. It was good decision-making. Yep. It was checking down when he had to. It was clearly working through his progressions. It was chunk plays. It was accuracy. There were some drop balls that could have made it better. It was different arm angles. Like, it was just objectively a really damn good performance. And here's what I wanted to ask.
It was also against a secondary that was ranked 100th last year, and they're still trying to figure out who the hell that they have as well, too. You know,
so that was going to be the next question: the eternal camp paradox, right? Is this more about the offense being good or the defense being bad for Texas?
It's a little bit of both. It's whatever you want to take out of it. But I, you know, if I'm Sark, I want to make sure that I'm ripping. What am I known for? I'm known for having good quarterback play and explosive offense, right? And with the amount of wide receiver churn and turnover that they had with Xavier Worthy and others going to the league, is that, hey, what was it going to look like with Isaiah Bond there, with Nye Black there, with you know, Ryan Wingo, the five-star recruit who was damn very impressive off the bat. What's this going to look like? And it looked good. I would rather have that tape, much like LSU's tape last year, the secondary being horrendously bad, and you had an explosive offense. All right, this is what we need to work on in the rest of the fall or the transfer portal. Maybe we don't have the guys. Like, I left the spring game thinking not only is the Texas have the best quarterback room in the country, but they might have one of the deepest wide receiver core as well. And that's impressive. You can fix the secondary to a certain extent, and you don't need to be the damn 85 Bears. You need to have a top 60 defense to be able to win a national championship, as explosive as that offense could be.
That's funny because those are the same internal conversations we had with, like, okay, if LSU's going to break through, like, what's the level? And, like, top 50, I think, is the cutoff that I attach to that. But I think Texas offense is going to be slightly better, so top 60 would, I think, be accurate there. Let me ask you an SEC-wide question here, PB, that I find to be pretty fascinating. Let's say there are three playoff spots, and I've been asking this of all our guests pretty much, but let's say there's three playoff spots for the SEC. There absolutely could be four. We're going to go ahead and give Georgia one automatically, right? In my own book, I'll give go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, Georgia is now the de facto, it's the gold standard, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's
yes.
just, and especially, you know, with Michigan losing as much as they've lost, you sit there and go, all right, it's going to be Georgia and who else? Much like for a long time, we talked about, you know, Alabama being the, hey, this is yes. the team, and then who else is going to get that? So you're going to say Georgia's one.
So Georgia immediately takes up a slot. I kind of been leaning towards giving Alabama an automatic one, but let's not do this for this. So then you got Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Mizzou, LSU, Tennessee thinks they're in that crew for sure as well. Am I missing anyone? The point is there's like a lot of very legitimate candidates and just like not a lot of oxygen in the room. So if you're scoring your top three going into the season, who are you giving the benefit of the doubt to?
Georgia 1, Texas 2, and Ole Miss 3. I mean, I feel like Ole Miss and the way that they've brought this thing together is in better shape than Alabama is right now, especially at the quarterback position. And that's not I would think Jalen Milroe can get a little bit better, but there's also a reason why Isaiah Bond had an opportunity to be the stud. I mean, Isaiah Bond had one of the greatest catches in SEC history, right? The Gravedigger route against Auburn. He could have stayed at Alabama. He could have waited and saw that, you know, that Kalen DeBoer has had the explosive offenses, and look at what he did with Rome Odunze and all that guy, and be the legend. Like, he could have retired even if he never played NFL football and just sold Iron Bowl t-shirts on that,
straight up,
you know, for his life and done insurance, and he would have been fine. And he was like, no, I want to make a business decision. I want to go to Texas. Nye Black did the same exact thing. So to me, Texas is coming in at number two, and you've got Ole Miss sitting at number three. I think Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, all those other cats are going to be behind them right now. Doesn't mean that, and even Missouri, doesn't mean they can't catch lightning in a bottle, but those are the top three right now.
Yeah, I guess the only thing about Alabama is, man, I just cannot escape the Kalen DeBoer factor. I mean, the guy's resume is as untouchable as you'll ever find anywhere. He's obviously got more talent than you've ever seen anywhere. I thought coming out of the spring game, I thought it looked like a hard-hitting spring game. I mean, pads popping, physical. And that looks like a team to me that is going to be built through running the ball, through great O-line play, and then kind of trying to put Jalen Milroe in positions to take advantage of that supreme athleticism. Maybe I'm just too I don't know if you would call it Stockholm syndrome. Like, I don't know. Maybe it just runs too. I mean, yes, maybe my trauma runs too deep, PB. But I just, it's so hard to pre-put even Texas over Alabama for me. And that's after they go into Tuscaloosa last year and win.
I mean, listen, I understand that I'm going to get bent over by the IRS every single year, right? And so, you just prepare for certain things. And Alabama being a college football playoff team, especially when there's 12 teams in the college football playoff, is the same way. Like, you just, it's death, taxes, in Alabama. That's traditionally what it is right now. But I have to see it, and because everybody else has gotten better, right? Everybody else has. I would say, if you're talking about the net increases of Ole Miss versus the net decreases of what Alabama lost, starting with Nick Saban, it's more of a deficiency of what Alabama lost is a game changer. And again,
that's fair.
They could still have a hell of a season. I mean, we didn't even talk about if Connor Wegman is healthy at A&M and Mike Elko's squad. I think they're a little bit more in that kind of B tier of the SEC. But I thought about it today. Can you imagine a scenario where it's 9-2 Texas, 9-2 Texas A&M, in Kyle Field for the first time that they've played in over a decade, with a college football playoff. My nipples are hard just thinking about it.
Yeah, there we go. See, mine are too, dude.
I'm excited to think that's a possibility of it. And then Brent Venables is like, bro, remember me? I'm over here as well, too. Like, it's going to remind me of the SEC baseball.
It's just motorized well. Yeah, it's fucking wild. Like, we didn't even mention Oklahoma. And then no one even feels that compelled to be like, but what about Oklahoma? Because there's just kind of doubt there right now. Yeah, I agree, college football fool. Peter gets the show. There we go. Mentioning hard nips. Absolutely gets it. Hey, PB, how about this? A quick little sojourn. Look at me and you, dude. Just a couple of gymnastics, natty champs chopping it up. You know? About
Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn living the best, like, clean life of it. I had Jay Clark, the LSU gymnastics coach, on my SiriusXM show this morning, and he was awesome. And he was just talked about, like, hey, man, like, when I rolled to Baton Rouge, I came from Georgia. I didn't know if I'd like this place. And he's like, D.D. Bro was basically, I almost quit. And D.D. Bro was like, the hell you're quitting. And so it's a good time, man. Good time down there.
We talked to Jay this morning as well, and it was pretty pretty fantastic. But yeah, for those that don't know, LSU Gymnastics winning the Natty over the weekend. And yes, you all know Livy Dunn. Her and Paul Skeens are together. They both now have Natty rings. And Skeens is, we looked it up today. He has thrown 6 times the amount of 100-mile-per-hour pitches than has any other starter in all of baseball. So LSU's power couple continues to only get more powerful. Peter, let's talk about other spring games around the country. I think Ohio State is a pretty interesting one. Actually, hold on. Before I do that, let's talk about spring games conceptually. Because you see Ole Miss, and they do more of like a Pro Bowl-type fun and, you know, just fun games.
It was a grab-ass spring game. That's yes. That's what it was, right? And I don't
– Is that the future of spring games? Should it be?
No, because the future of spring games is no longer going to be spring games. Sooner or later, when they do revenue sharing with the college athletes, I think what they'll end up doing is actually playing damn games. I think that they'll play a – LSU might play, you know – Louisiana Tech.
Whoa. Okay. Or, interesting.
Georgia might play Georgia Southern or something like that and go put it on television. Right. I mean, again, if you're going to say, if you're going to have a game, why not actually have a game? Some teams can do it, some teams can't. But all of a sudden, if you came up there and you had a spring jamboree or showcase and we got to watch those games, that's what you'll see. And I was surprised, like with Sark, we talked to him earlier in the week, and Sark's like, listen, I got enough depth. I'm going to play a regular football game. I need that. And if guys transfer out, but then we'll transfer guys back in. Like, it's no big deal. But for Lane and those guys, I don't knock their version of the spring game as well conceptually because, hey, you don't want to put on tape anything for anybody right now.
No.
And you don't want to sit there and go, all right, well – hey, I got brought in here to transfer to Ole Miss, and I was the fourth guy to catch a ball in the second half. And all of a sudden, I got 8 voicemails from collectives and agencies going, hey, man, just letting you know, we saw you or we didn't see you in the spring game. You could come start with us from the fall. Let me connect you with my collective guy. So I see both sides of the equation right now. That's why I say screw it. Just start playing other teams and do a revenue share and with the players.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Like you said, like it's so situational that getting into, oh, this is going to be everywhere. It's just hard to say either way. Like, of course, you look at an LSU and defensively, they don't want to show anything. They got Blake Baker and everybody like, no, they're just going to run base the whole time because what's going to be a great advantage going into USC, and USC has the same advantage, completely reworking their defense, right? Both these super similar squads going to be squaring off week one in Vegas and neither wanting to give up any information to the other. Okay.
It's so an absolute cluster F, by the way, that we end up having the transfer portal the way that it did. I mean, even the transfer portal for college basketball as well, right? I mean, like literally there could have been a player that made the Sweet 16 and at some point says, listen, if you don't hook me up with the collective right now, I'm not going to go play in the Elite Eight game. I mean, and they literally could have put their name in the transfer portal. It's a freaking mess.
So the calendar's crazy, right? That said, there are kind of no easy solutions in any of this because what we have clearly realized, and this will be the last one, Peter, I know you're busy, then we'll let you go, but like what we clearly realized is the friction to me comes into play because we had accepted a system that the courts are now telling us should have been flatly illegal for about 100 years. But the whole time we just accepted as being correct, right? So now you have this governing body that no longer has any power to govern, right? And so it's like, so is the only way to solve this just straight up some sort, I don't know if it's, you know, an actual union, but some sort of representative group of the players, a new power structure for something like college or college football, collective bargaining. Like, that's the only way out of this, right? But that's going to take a long time to come about.
You say that because there's still all of these court cases are going to go for a while. The question is, do you want to get sued into it like they've been, or do you want to be proactive? Like, if I'm one of these conferences that's not the SEC or the Big Ten, what I would probably do, and, you know, I mean, you know, the Big 12, why am I blanking on his name? The
Brett Yormark's
an outside-the-box thinker. If yes. I'm one of these guys, I'm going to be the first person to say, you know what, as a conference, we've bargained with our players, or, you know, and try to figure it out. Like, give me a reason why I'm not going to go to the SEC, or I'm not going to go to the Big Ten. All right. You know why? Because guess what? Those conferences, they haven't collective bargained with their players right now, or they haven't set up a structure. And again, I speak that because, you know, I don't know the legalese behind that. But if you're the Big 12, you're the ACC, or you're one of these other conferences, you're either going to get eventually eaten up, T-Bob, or you're going to have to create so much of a dynamic thought leading process to shift gears and say, all right, I know the television money is over there. Great. But guess what? Here's what we do over here. And that's really the only truly way you're going to be kind of a leader in my mind going forward.
Yeah. It's the great disappointment of Charlie Baker to me is that he had such an opportunity to try to take this thing and be transformative. And instead he just kind of tried to hold on to a sinking ship.
But I don't even know, T-Bob, if he had that opportunity to do that. Like,
maybe
I think
that's unfair.
I think he wanted to. Like Emmert and those guys had that opportunity, and they thought, hey, listen, the courts will save them. And I think everybody thinks Congress will eventually settle something after this election is done, because nobody wants to tip their hand right now. But after the election, I think people are going to go back and look at it and go, okay, we got 4 years of whoever. Now let's get this in and figure out and kind of save them the model, or not save it, whatever they do.
Well, it's, to me, it's weird because, like, I've never seen anything more bipartisan on a smaller level than making it easier to pay kids through NIL. Like, it is the only thing. LA legislature is a joke. And yet, if they hear that Florida passed a law that you have to match for recruiting, like, it gets done immediately. So I find it tough to think that federally, like, federal representatives would want to go against that. But we'll see. I think we lost PB.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Anytime
we start getting into the government talk and legal and like NIL stuff, I just zone out. So that was me on purpose.
No, I know, dude. That's bad on me for letting it here. Hey, look, Peter, thank you so much, man. Give me your most impressive spring game that you saw this entire spring season.
I mean, again,
which team got juiced up the most from what you saw?
You know, I actually, this is going to be shocking, but Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby, the Blake Shapen kid from Baylor, and he put up some good numbers. And, you know, I don't know how good that they'll be, because I don't think they have the depth, T-Bob, but also they're going to have some fun. I mean, that Egg Bowl between him and Lane Kiffin is going to be a boatload of points. So that's going to be another thorn in people's side right now. Defensively, I thought A&M looked a little bit better. Of course, that's no shock because you have Elko. Connor Wegman's still not 100%. You know, he's not 100%
healthy. Yeah.
But, you know, and to me, Dusty Dvorak said, listen, he called the LSU game, and he's like, dude, if they can get any semblance of defense, this offense is going to be explosive. But, I mean, again, I mean, hell, we've heard that before. But I'm fired up, man.
I just love that Jeff Lebby, when he got the job, was like, I mean, we'll score some fucking points. He didn't even promise wins. He was like, I mean, I can guarantee you we're going to score.
Think about Lane's first season. College Football Fool's in here. He goes, did you just say Mississippi State? I'm like, yeah, because the reason why I said it is, like, who has juice? Was there juice when Zach Arnett was there? Not necessarily. He was put in a really tough spot after Coach Leach. And so it's like, all right, does the fan base believe? Like, that's all a spring game is for.
Yeah.
Is, hey, you want to make sure everybody stays healthy. You want to learn a little bit about those guys. But also, did you fire up a fan base? And I can say Mississippi State fans are sitting there going, all right, well, we might actually have a little offense right now. But again, the Texas thing is going to be monumental to watch. And my last thing I'll leave you with is I watched Quinn's body language in the second half of that game and afterwards. Yeah. Because I just kind of was like, man, this is awkward. You got Arch and you got 9,000 people looking for his autograph. He just threw for 300 yards, three touchdowns. And my guy might as well just been smoking a cigarette like, yeah, we're good. It's like,
yeah,
it's
exactly,
like, he was chill. Yeah. You could just tell he was a leader. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I went 2 for 3 today. It's fine. Yeah, Arch was great. Like, it was fine. So it's not the, as we come full circle, it's not the chaos that everybody wants it to be in the storyline. So,
no, I mean, again, if you're a Longhorn fan, that was a great day for you, right? You got great insurance this season, and it looks like you should be strong for years to come. PB, thank you so much. You are the man. Thank you for joining us here today. I hope you have a wonderful day, my friend.
I'm just so glad I had to do it and Aaron wasn't here. Like, this made my day. God, dude. The fact that I had to look at his face.
Anyway. Get him the fuck out of here, dude. All right, man. Hit him straight whenever you play golf next. That's, you know, I'm trying to be a golf guy. All right, later, Doc. All right, look, guys. That's going to pretty much be it for today. I apologize. A lot of people are like, somebody had one of my favorite quotes and comments ever early. He said, it looks like T-Bob's living through a Tarantino movie right now, but was forced to do the show. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me today. I never get migraines. I've had like an awful headache all day. I say I don't know what's going on. I partied pretty hard all weekend long, so likely it has something to do with that. Ben Collinsworth did say Arch Manning has those Sith-looking eye bags going on. Yeah, I did not. I didn't really notice that until you point out. He's got major Anakin in Revenge of the Sith vibes going down. But look, if you have been, okay, so some show production notes here. YouTube.com/@SnapsCFB_SnapsCFB. We'll get it there. The podcast, my fault. Last couple episodes have not been put up yet. I should, fingers crossed, have that done by tomorrow, if I had to guess. It's a little wild right now. It doesn't matter. I don't need to get into it. But just be on the lookout for that. That will get fixed. Do not worry about that. And 15.2K subscribers, guys. Freaking love y'all. Thank you so much. Okay. Please continue to sub. Please continue to help the show, especially now that we're independent. Anything and everything helps more if you hit the like button, sub to the channel. Those are great ways that you can help. And yeah, just share with your friends, man. So we love you. Me and Aaron both back tomorrow, back in studio, back on schedule. And we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Snaps. All right, guys. Later.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.